Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
This one starts with an image that feels kind of cinematic in its eeriness. Christmas night. Going all the way back to 2022. While most people were winding down from family dinners and wrapping themselves in the comfort of routine, Brian Koberger sat alone at a computer, clicking. And what he was clicking through is what makes this the real creepy part. One of the bleakest corners of the internet, a clunky site cataloging serial killers by name and timeline. He wasn't casually scrolling. He was downloading file after file. Biographies of infamous murderers. Like literally keeping them on his computer. Among them, one name came up more than once. Danny Rawling. He was known as the Gainesville Ripper. Koberger didn't just skim Danny Rawling's information. He downloaded Rawling's case twice in one sitting, as if the story of a man who knifed his way into history wasn't just information, but something worth revisiting. Having a rerun of the same story right after you just watched it. Studying, maybe even modeling. And this is where the questions start to get uncomfortable. Was Koberger simply indulging in academic interest? After all, he was a PhD student in criminology. That's what I'm sure he was hoping folks would think if they looked at him any closer. Or was he looking at Rawling, a man who broke into student apartments at night, used a K-bar knife, and slaughtered young college girls in their beds as kind of a blueprint? Because what happened in Gainesville in 1990 and what happened in Moscow, Idaho in 2022 bear a resemblance that's almost too on the nose to dismiss as a, well, coincidence. I mean, this is just so creepy. The coincidences with this one. And I'm honestly surprised that we didn't hear comparisons to this earlier on. Or maybe we did, and I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons that came out there.
I want to know what is going through somebody's mind. You know, and maybe you don't celebrate the holidays. Maybe Christmas is a icky time of year for you. For a number of years, Christmas was really not something I was looking forward to in my previous situation. But I can't say that I ever went to the computer and started looking up serial killers. I might have been shopping the after Christmas sales.
Yeah.
You know, maybe scrolling on TikTok for, you know, cute cat videos. Or communicating with friends
Messenger. Also didn't just slaughter 4 people either. So
well, that's correct.
So what one is looking up after that is an interesting. I mean, what's interesting is he didn't get a chance to cover these tracks because he covered so many, but these are kind of like leading right up to where they got him. So I think this is really giving us a window into all of the stuff he deleted. Because if this is what was going on before he could do that wipe, this is the same sort of stuff that was going on before then. So I'm really curious about how much he did like idolize this guy or really thought he could do it better. Or at the end of the day, what's interesting is just, he was a copycat.
Don't you think though, with his intelligence level that he could have, I guess it would be interesting to find out from either Robin Drake or Jennifer Coffendaffer, or maybe even Siobhan Scott, what goes on that they need to copy somebody else's? Why can't you be original?
A lot of them don't. A lot of them are original. This guy's not.
Why? He was intelligent. He could have done his own thing.
Because he didn't have his own thing. He was just like a very programmable robot. And I think, he could take, and it just take things in, but then he's very, very scientific and measured with how things come in and come out. It's always formal because there isn't emotion. He doesn't mix with emotion. So good and bad and hurt and all of that doesn't compute. He doesn't have empathy.
He just needed a template to follow.
Yeah. And if you follow the template, you can kind of get along in life for long enough until you can't. And especially the other things he's had going on with his mind, his obsessions and all of that. That's just a recipe to spiral into what he spiraled into.
And so this is absolute premeditation and just methodical planning of this event.
Yeah, I think I was talking with Coffendaffer about it today, and it's going to be in segments that are coming out this week. Because I was saying, do you think the end of the day here, he went in there and was so shocked by having to kill four people that, did that break something him? Did that mess him up, or did that make him feel stronger? Because I think he went in there with the intent to go after one person.
I was just going to ask, how many do you think?
But I don't even know it was to murder either. I think it might have been to threaten, to scare, to SA. But I don't know that. I just wonder if it got in there and then everything just got so out of control. And he had this in his mind because he's been stalking her and for however long that was. And he in his mind thought this is going to be the night he's going to go do this. And to a normal human being, that's horrific. To him, this is like date night.
I was going to say a Friday night.
Yeah, this is not any Friday night. It's that night. It's a night that he in his mind is going to go out with the girl he can't have. And that's what because to him, this is what, I don't know. This is what I'm thinking he's going through in his mind if you're trying to understand the emotions of how this monster thinks. And I'm thinking he's just going after her. And I can almost picture this, and I'm sure it'll be illustrated in some horror movie at some point in time or documentary where they reenact this. But I think you had that very shocked Koberger look, going on as his plan immediately unraveled. And suddenly there's this rage because he's so pent up and ready to go after one girl. And then everything gets blown to shit by everybody else. And that rage then spills into just executing anyone that was getting in his way. He gets to the girls and there's a friend there. I mean, it's like everything that went wrong for him. And I think I don't know that he went in there with the intent to kill four people, because I don't think he knew there were four people in there.
Yeah.
I think it was utter animalistic rage that came out of him. And I think he was prepared if he had to murder her of how to get out of there without being seen. Because everybody talks about, well, he had, he cleaned it, or he didn't clean it up, but he got out pretty clean. So I think he was prepared for that, for that one person. But this, I just think it went so out of control. It ended up working to his benefit that there was ended up being four people. And he was protected from whatever he was wearing or whatever he had going on. I don't know that he was planning on killing four people, and this doesn't make it better or anything. I'm just trying to figure out what that plan was. Cause when it comes to, I think, executing real life and what's in his mind, they're two very, very different worlds. And I think that, that was a big factor in this whole nightmare.
You know, what's disturbing to me is the fact that, so he's stalking, let's just say he's stalking one person. You're not doing a real good job. So this is going to be the night.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sure how many people are in there?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's just, oh shit. And then he's viewing all these people as, you know, if just you weren't here, if it wasn't for you, you're in the way. You're one of the, what do the incels call men? I know they call the girls Stacy's, Chads. And he's viewing just the rage on, because this guy is, he's looking at him going, what do I have that you don't have? Why are you here and I'm not?
Yeah.
And so that was what I think accounts for the extra stabbing into him, into his leg. I mean, it was just, it's rage. It's rage at everything he can't have. And it was a spree. But I don't know that it was intended to be a spree. It just I feel like it just kind of happened that way. Do I think he got out of there and felt super high and super great? Yeah, I think that's an prime example with his picture in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looked very proud. He looked like he had just, like there was an achievement behind that look. Yeah. Like, look what I did.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm good.
And then it started to, I think, get to him, or his paranoia was starting to get to him, because they were looking at him, because he was going to, I believe he was Papa Roger. I believe he was trying to taunt people in the same way BTK did. But I think he started to see how quickly this was spiraling out of that control too. And he got really, really paranoid. Because he was covering his tracks okay for a while. Had there not been that sheath, I don't know. I think there would have, I mean, now that we've learned other things too, of people are, you know, talking about, you know, he had a scratch on his face, visible, you know, I'm surprised that didn't get him under interest immediately.
Yeah.
Cause everybody's like, you know, this just happened. Anybody coming back with weird injuries, I think would have a red flag on them, but I don't know. Back to Rawling. Rawling was older. He was already hardened by years of crime and personal rage when he picked up his knife and crept through unlocked sliding glass doors in Gainesville. Over 4 days, he killed 5 students, mutilating bodies, posing some of them in grotesque displays. It was a wave of terror that sent thousands fleeing campus. Parents yanked their kids out of school. The whole city was just gripped by fear. Rawling later admitted he wanted to be a superstar killer. Well, I'll tell you what. In the words of Gladys Knight on the Pips, superstar, but you didn't get far.
Yeah.
Because he went back to find the electric chair. Oh, yes, he did. Ooh. He's frying.
I had a little Michael in there.
Frying. I don't know. I don't know if he got the. He died. He was put to death. I don't know if it was the electric chair, but it was something. Frying like that Brian Cole burger. Frying like the Brian Cole burger.
Oh my God, Tony. Shit.
I'd rather fry in his world
than live
line. Without him. He's frying. He's burning. He's going oh back God. To. Going back to hell. He'd have gone. He'd have gone. He's going back to hell. Cold burger, burger, cold burger. Okay, anyway. First concert, Gladys Knight and the Pips and the Temptations, by the way. Wisconsin State Fair, circa 1998.
That was your first?
Yeah. Like the first concert that I went to that I like was a real concert, not like, you know, Walleye Weekend or something, or like a little festival. The first concert, it was, I believe, 38 special, and it was way too loud, and we left like within the first song, and I was really little. But this was the first one I remembered. And that's
funny.
And by that point, there was one pip.
Just one left.
One left.
Mine was Air Supply.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
Yeah. It was very good.
Yeah. Okay. Got the Gladys.
But we digress.
Got the Gladys out of me.
Well, thank goodness for that.
I grew up on Motown stuff. Rawling later admitted he wanted to be a superstar killer. Okay. Even comparing himself to Ted Bundy.
Ooh.
Low comparisons here with Bry, isn't it? Fame was part of the fuel, violence and notoriety wrapped together. Now look at Koberger, 28, socially isolated, immersed in the study of criminal behavior, living a life that seems sterile and empty. Investigators later found his phone loaded with shirtless selfies, crime-related downloads, and almost nothing personal. No friends, just relationships. No joy, just him. Documenting himself for himself. Like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. Hey, I called that one.
Yeah, you did.
I called it way back. I think it was like that weekend I called that. I had a graphic for it and everything. And it turned out that's what he was doing. Not trying to take joy in it, but...
No.
That was creepy. It was creepy as hell. Tucked in that digital archive, Rowling's story, stored and opened like a little secret mirror. The overlap is chilling. Rowling stalked women from the shadows, scoping apartments, peering through windows, plotting when to strike. Koberger, according to investigators, circled the victim's house in Moscow at least a dozen times in the months leading up to the murders. His phone pinged near their home late at night, over and over. He followed the victims on social media, even messaged one repeatedly, supposedly, but never getting a reply. Both men, in their own decades, hunted in the dark. And the method? Rowling carried a K-bar knife, the kind issued to Marines, a blade made for combat. He used it to subdue, to kill, to enact violence so intimate it left crime scene investigators reeling. Koberger's accused of using almost an exact same knife, fixed blade K-bar, to stab four students to death in a matter of minutes. Both attacks centered on the college town ideal. Off-campus housing, bedrooms that should have been safe. Rowling killed roommates and couples, anyone unlucky enough to be in the wrong apartment. Koberger walked into a three-story house filled with young students and left four of them dead. But there's a split in the psychology that matters. Rowling's crimes were drenched in sexual violence. He didn't just kill, he essayed, mutilated, and staged. His rage was tangled up in humiliation, childhood abuse, and a need to dominate women completely. Koberger's crime, brutal as it was, did carry some signs of the element. Prosecutors have said flat out that there was no evidence of SA, but that doesn't mean that that was not an intent of this crime. It clearly was. So what drove Koberger? A lot of theories circle back to ego, anger, the thrill of control, and baked in there some sort of a hate for women. Maybe it wasn't about desire in the traditional sense. It was about power, about inserting himself into the same blood-soaked conversations as the men he'd been reading about online. After Rowling's murders, he camped in the woods, kept moving, committed robberies to stay afloat, and eventually slipped. His DNA back then, just blood type matching, tied him to the scenes. He even left bizarre audio tapes of himself singing songs and confessing to Gemini, an alter ego he blamed for the killings. Koberger, in contrast, tried to clean up with modern tricks. He turned off his phone during the murders, then powered it back on afterwards as if nothing had happened. He used VPNs, incognito browsing, data wiping software. He searched for auto detailing shops when police began talking publicly about a white Hyundai Elantra. He even shopped for new cars, scrolling through models that weren't white, weren't Elantras, as though he could erase the most glaring lead connected to him to the crime. Yet, like Rawling, he too made mistakes, leaving behind the knife sheath with his DNA, a breadcrumb he could not scrub away. Maybe the most unsettling overlap is what came after. Rawling basked in his infamy, giving interviews, writing more songs, and becoming a grotesque sort of celebrity until his execution in 2006. Koberger, in his own way, seemed to do something similar. Downloaded every official police press release about the Idaho murders, tracked media coverage, Googled himself. He was watching his own case unfold step by step, almost like a specter of his own notoriety. That level of narcissism isn't just creepy. A need to see how the world reads, to measure your place, the pantheon of killers you once studied. Rawling wanted to be Bundy. Koberger downloaded on Rawling. Both men were loners, fueled by internal storms of rage, ego, and emptiness. And both turned the knife. The bedrooms of young students to the kind of crimes that shatter the illusion of safety in a college town. And both left behind trails. One in the form of his own fluids, confessions on tape, the other in a digital library of obsessions, and that single forgotten knife sheath. Do you think Koberger was emulating Rawlings? Or was it more of a, I'm going to take a little piece of you here too as I piece together my inverted crucifix of human monsters?
There's just some stark differences here. There might have been this constant, this constant need to be validated by women. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it might have been very similar. But I guess if you're going to copy somebody, why not go all in?
No.
Why would you stop? Why would you not do the essay part of it? Because that was the hallmark of Rawling, wasn't it?
And that's the thing. I just think everything went to shit for Koberger in terms of his planning.
I think, like, to back that up is the fact that he left the sheath behind. This is a guy who knew better.
I think the essay was like going to be the highlight for him. And I think that's what I think turned this into this rage situation beyond control, because he was interrupted in this thing that he had been planning, that he'd been looking forward to in the sick, fucked up way that Brian Koberger thinks. And it's like everything went wrong in his mind.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the rage just, it went further. He was already going in there with rage. But then the same people who would always, in his mind, are the same types of people that would represent, in his mind, that were, you know, would put him down or made him feel, not cool or unpopular. He was never part of their group, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it because, and rather than ever looking at himself and going, gee, maybe it's me, and these people are nice people, if I could just learn how to communicate. But no, it's them. And so, again, he's going in to do this thing that he's so excited about, and that's those same, you know, just normal, healthy, responsible kids, to the most you can be responsible at that age, again, screwed up his plans.
Which surprises me that maybe this was so startling for him that he didn't continue on in a killing type spree or didn't try again because it went so terribly wrong. I wonder if he had been successful, quote unquote successful. I mean, I don't mean in terms of, wow, you did a great thing. But no, if he had gotten to do what he set out to do, whatever that was, would that have fed the beast so that he'd continue on?
Or would do it again? Or the fact that it, I mean, if he got away with it, he that would feed the beast. If he had gotten away with it, I think that would have fed him. And I think his own perfectionism would have made him do it again, because he would be looking back going at how sloppy things were.
Yeah.
And he'd be looking back going, how can I do this better next time? So I think that would have been, you know, mode to do it again. Now, people talk about he was shopping for another K-bar, a knife sheath. Shortly thereafter. And I don't know if that would have been to go out and commit another murder, or if it would have been to say, because I don't think he thought he was being looked at yet at that moment in time. So, but in the event that they did, he was going to try and be a step ahead and go, no, I got my knife sheath right here.
I think that's what he was probably doing.
But then realized they could look that up.
Yeah.
And then I think in his mind, when he had that little realization there, I think he probably started thinking, oh shit, they could probably look up that I bought that one too. Oh fuck. And I can just see his beady eyes.
Yeah.
Just realizing an obvious thing that would have been obvious to the rest of the world, but so foreign to Brian Koberger. So there you go. Rawling.
Wow.
It's an interesting comparison. I'm going to have to watch some more Rawling stuff, because that was a long time ago. That was like the 90s, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. I was a kid. So I would be interesting though to see mannerisms is kind of what I'm curious about. But Rawling, from what I've seen, was very personable. And that's the difference with Koberger. So many of these killers had personalities.
Look at Bundy.
Yes, there was something behind the monster. Koberger is just the monster.
Yeah.
Being run by like an empty soul. It's like if AI was a human being monster, and it's just like pulling from every piece of knowledge it has about killers. And at the end, it's just like a computer program. There's nothing there. It's empty. Obviously he's a human being. You know, he knows right from wrong, but it's how do you understand that sort of a way of thinking? That's, other than it just feeds on fear and hate and, yeah. Ugh. All right.
It's just so unnecessary. It's just, you know, go find some people to hang out with. Learn how to be personable. People want to teach others how to be human.
But I think some people are just too out there.
Too damaged.
I don't want to even say damaged. I just think sometimes yes, damaged, but I think sometimes you're just kind of born that way. So damaged compared to everyone else. When I think damaged, I think like traumas and things like that. If this is just how your brain functions, that's just how your brain functions. Too, I think, miswired, I guess, would be. Because it's like, it's not damaged if that's how you came out.
Man.
You know, unless something caused the damage, it's like, this is naturally just. And there's not, I mean, there's a lot of people obviously with, you know, a lot of narcissistic type issues and things, but there's so few that go to this length. And that's why, you know, it's fascinating to study them.
He needs to be studied.
Or
he absolutely needs to be studied.
Or here's a creepy one to leave you with. There's not many that go to this length. Oh, is there though? Because like more than 50% of all homicides are never solved. So that would tell me there's a lot more of these people that are even worse than this guy, that they can blend in far, far better.
Thanks.
There's a happy thought for everyone to go to bed with. Tell me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Press subscribe there, and press subscribe if you're listening to us on the podcast platforms as well, so you don't miss any of our coverage in this and the many cases we got right here going on at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.